Greetings in the name of Jesus and a hearty welcome to everyone gathered here tonight. Just trust that the Spirit of God would continue to direct our thoughts this evening. As we look into His Word, I just wanted to give just a brief review of the last two sermons we've had before we go into tonight's message. First night we looked at Jacob's return to Bethel, and wherever he in this first encounter at Bethel called it the house of God, named it the house of God, but in his second return after 20 years he got to know the God of the house of God. Then last night we looked at what is our concept of God, what do we think of him, and we looked at some biblical portraits out of Isaiah, and then several passages there. And then over in Acts 17. To bring our thoughts together tonight just a bit, I was wondering how many of us know the chorus, "I was in sin's prison, oh so dark and cold. I wish I knew the second stanza better than I do, so I might depend on you if you know the second stanza. I wrote down what I thought it was, but I could not cross-reference it with any book." So we're going to try to get through that, but let's sing that little chorus. I was in sin's prison, oh so dark and cold, just a lost sheep wandering from God's eternal fold. Then the door swung open, Jesus said to me, "I've signed your pardon, now you pardon there on Calvary. Since the Lord has led me from that awful place, I can hear the angels sing, they sing amazing grace. I know I've been pardoned from my sin and shame. Now my sword is saved. Song means a lot because it goes right in line with what we're going to have this evening. I appreciated the opening thoughts of Brother Gerald, and that's certainly fitting meditations for us. The last two evenings we have looked at our God and what He can be to us and how He wants to relate to us and help us. But there is another power in this world that is against God and against the people of God. Satan, the father of lies, is out to destroy the work of God and to ruin people's lives and drag women, men and women down into destruction and perdition. The tempter that deceived Eve, our first mother, the mother of all living, and then Adam, is still out trying to destroy and enslave anyone he can. His goal is to take as many as possible with him to eternal damnation. For some, the path to destruction is slow and easy. For others, it appears to be so sudden and dramatic. You all have probably seen neighbors and dear friends who have started down the road of sin and wonder how things can get so bad so fast. The title I feel led to preach about tonight is "The Oppression of the Devil." I invite you to turn to Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. This is where our title was taken from. This is part of Peter's sermon at Cornelius' house. A powerful sermon that he preached under the anointing of the Holy Ghost to a Gentile audience. Probably the first time the gospel went to a Gentile family and whoever else was gathered in that auditorium that day. We don't know who all it was. But Peter in that message gave some interesting facts, and we're going to read that in Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The oppression of the devil tonight. What really does it mean? I'd like to look yet briefly in introductory scriptures to Isaiah chapter 61, where the prophet, looking through prophetic eyes and inspired of the Holy Ghost, writes to you and I. And Jesus, of course, repeated these words in his first recorded sermon, the first recorded sermon of Jesus in the synagogue in Luke chapter 4. And I'm just going to read it in prophetic word out of the book of Isaiah in chapter 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now I realize that in Jesus, in his reading in Luke chapter 4, from what I remember, although I didn't look at it just today, all of that context, I think you only read the first two verses, but I thought to just get a little bit more of that there. But I want us to notice there that Jesus Christ came to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. The oppression of the devil tonight, my friends, is something that is hard to describe. It's serious business. I remember the time we got a call that a baby was born in the city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. There was a snowstorm going. It was right at the end of December. I had a four-wheel drive Toyota pickup truck with an extra cab. It was extremely difficult to travel there, but we were all excited. We didn't care what kind of weather was going to be. A prison baby was coming to our house. And I don't like to call them prison babies. They're babies of incarcerated mothers. A dear little one, dear little one. So we got in the truck, and before I left, I called my mom and I said, "Mom, we're going to pick up a baby today. It's a snowstorm up here in Pennsylvania." And she said, "Well, we'll be praying for you, son." And so I knew that the angels would watch over us. In downtown Philadelphia, I was driving in 12 inches of snow, and I had the locket in four-wheel drive. There was no way to tell where the lines were on the road. It was quite a dramatic experience for us. And we finally got to the hospital. And I, with all the excitement, I was not prepared for what I saw when I finally got to the room where the mother was. We got to the room, nurses said, "Yes, she's down there, she's waiting for you. We see you have some things along here, we'll be soon there to help you out." And this mother lying in a hospital bed with a handcuff around her ankle and handcuffed tight to the steel railings of the bed. I tell you, and with two armed guards in the room, a man and a woman, fully armed, I was not prepared for that. And to see this mother with all the passions that a mother's heart could possibly have, feeding this little baby with a bottle. She had just given birth to the baby not long before, but there's no way she could take this baby back with her to prison. And I never saw in my life, up till that moment, a graphic picture of oppression of the devil and where sin will take you. I never saw it till then. It is surreal to watch that. and to see that in graphic display. And that mother trying to bond with her baby and yet knowing she has but minutes. And to witness the cry and the intense emotion as she hands that little black bundle over to my wife. And it was touching for us all. It was touching for us all. We all cried together. And the guards, I don't think, did. But I asked the guards, is it all right if before we leave this place, we have a word of prayer? I tell you, the oppression of the devil and where sin will take a person. Handcuffed, a new mom, handcuffed to the bed rail that she was lying in. Phenomenal. We had that baby for periods of time throughout the months that followed up till about 9 months of age. And one day it was made known to us that the mother wants her baby back and you're going to take it back. So we made that long trek to Philadelphia and met the mother on the sidewalk, not at her house, out on the sidewalk with a town lady that looked very, very, I'm not sure what to say about her. Let's say it's a person that also needed Jesus very much. Another person that all, by all appearances was under the oppression of the devil. And there on the sidewalk we handed this little girl that we had loved so dearly. And that's the last we saw of her. We know that her mother was back in prison since. It's a sad story. And about every time we have family worship, somebody in the family prays for little Jeray because we cared about her so much. Several years or so later, we were called again. There's another baby, this time up at Lock Haven. It was beautiful weather. I was a bit more prepared for what I might find when I got there. This mother also was lying in a hospital bed. And I saw a similar chain. I saw the guards in the room. I think it was only one in this case, and it was a lady actually that was watching her bedside. She was not handcuffed fast to the bed. But I saw that mother needing to go back to prison in just a short little bit, trying yet to hold that baby just a few moments longer and then hand it over. And I saw her cry. I'm telling you, when you see that, you get a graphic picture of the oppression of the devil, my friends. Because of something that happened to one of our dear children, we spent some time at Pennsylvania Psychiatric Institute. I don't know if there's a girl here that approximately be 12 or 13 years old, I imagine, or somebody about that age in this audience. And I saw this girl just, oh, oh. And she'd walk up to a wall and just jam it with her foot. She'd go up and just bam her head and bam, just gyrating all around. I saw this. I had never seen such a thing in my entire life. I saw her walk up and just like a karate actor just punching and going at it and bumping into this and going into that. She's just wild. 13-year-old approximately. A little while later, I saw four adult men. Armed men, at least some of them were, one on each limb carrying her into a room. And they kind of said, she needs an injection to kind of calm her down. Is that the oppression of the devil or isn't it? I tend to think it was. My dear friends, this stuff is real. And it's real in the world that we live in 2018. And it's worse now than it ever was. Worse now than it ever was. Because what happens when that girl is not now 13? What happens when she's 23? Because that's about what she would be about now. What kind of life is she living? Unless the holy power of Jesus Christ has gotten hold of her life, she's nothing but the one she would probably be serving. How is that when that's 13? And what's it like when it's 23 and older, my friends? The oppression of the devil! It's horrible! Now we want to look at three Bible stories of people who were oppressed by the devil. I invite you to Mark chapter 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. He said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the country and in the city. And they went out to see what was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And when they saw it, they told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Did you see the change there? From the oppression of the devil to liberty in Christ Jesus. Did you see that there in that little story? Isn't that amazing? Can God still do such things? Are there people that have those kind of problems around us today? I tend to believe that they are. That there are such people. Mark chapter 9, verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. He foameth and gnashes with his teeth and pineth away. And I say to thy disciples, I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and he saw him. And straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have mercy, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus saith unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, inasmuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, the disciples asked him privately, Why could we not cast him out? And he saith unto them, This kind can come forth but by nothing but by prayer and fasting. How much prayer and fasting would we be willing to do for the salvation of someone that's in such need? If it was a child, like I described, if we had a 13-year-old, like I described, what would we do? I'm telling you, friends, when you have a child in bad health, it pulls on a parent's heart. It really does. Whenever you see, and I remember so well, just prior to our child going into Pennsylvania Psychiatric Institute, I remember seeing on that doctor's table, they were doing an endoscopy, and I saw, and it just struck me ever so hard, that little one lying on that table is in bad shape, physically done for. just in semi-conscious kind of swoon, like, oh my, God help us. The idea of crying out to God with tears, we did it many times and over that period of time in my life. And every night going to the hospital, it does something to a marriage whenever that kind of stuff happens. It helps husband and wife to get a little closer together. You want to make sure that there's nothing between us, that God can work and move and do what he wants to do in our midst, in our home. Have mercy on us and help us, oh God. Because there's oppression. We don't know where all it comes from. But sad times occur. Luke chapter 13. Verse 10. And he was teaching one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. If this stuff happened in the time of Christ, do you think there's people that are still oppressed by the devil today? Absolutely there are. And they might not live very far from where you do. They might not live far from where you do. Do you have a heart of compassion toward them? Can you see someone who is oppressed of the devil and have a heart of compassion and wish you could reach out to them and wish you could do something? And maybe God's asking you to pray for them and fast for their salvation and for their liberty from the oppression of the devil. You know, the Bible talks about a woman named Mary Magdalene, had 7 evil spirits in her. And Jesus cast those spirits out, and she was one of the most faithful women that followed Christ from then until he ascended into heaven. She was one of the first, she was the first, if I'm right, the first woman to find out and have a personal encounter with Christ right after the resurrection, Mary Magdalene. She loved the one who saved her. Do you love the one that saved you tonight? Are you free from the oppression of the devil, or are you living in it yet? How is it with you tonight? How is it with your dear friends and loved ones? I want to look first of all tonight. The first point is the condition of the oppression of the devil. What condition does that person live in? How does it look? If we're going to go to an Old Testament reference in Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 21. I probably never thought about this verse very much until a friend of mine, I'm telling a story about him, Lord willing, in just a couple of minutes, pointed this verse out to me. I don't know if it ever stood out to me, but until he showed it to me. I'm in Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction. In the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. And I realize that this was probably an Old Testament writer without the knowledge of the shed blood of Christ. I know that. But can you imagine a person being held with the cords of their sin, bound up under the oppression of the devil? Imagine such a thing. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. Have you ever seen someone like that? Is that somebody you? John chapter 8 verse 34. Whoso committeth sin is the servant of sin. In Spanish it makes it stronger. It says, he who commits sin is a slave of sin. What is a slave? Do you know what a slave is? Have any idea? If you keep on sinning and keep on sinning, you're a slave to sin. You're oppressed by sin. You're under the bondage of sin. Any one of us who continually lives in sin, committeth is an ongoing action, we're the servant of sin. Jesus says so. 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. He that keeps on sinning and powerless to stop sinning is of the devil. The Bible says so. The oppression of the devil, how horrible it is, how horrendous it is. God help us to avoid that snare. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And so how is it in our lives tonight? Are we servants of sin or are we serving Christ? Another verse, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Have you felt that? The captivity that comes by allowing sin in your life. And after a while, you're not the one in control of it. The sin controls you. I read that again. Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. The oppression that the devil wages upon our souls. Another verse. That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. It's not your will. If you're under the oppression of the devil tonight, it's at his will. And you're under the snare of the devil. You're like an animal with its foot caught in the trap, and you're powerless to do anything about it in your own strength. While they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage. So are we a slave of sin tonight? How is the state of our soul? Some specific aspects of the devil's oppression. Point number two. Some specific aspects of the devil's oppression. Is demonic activity. One lady came to Jesus one day. She was a Syrophoenician woman. She had no rights to be there, and Jesus as much as told her so. But she had a problem, and she came to the right source. Praise God for help. And she said, Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And Jesus and her had quite a discourse. And when finally Jesus saw the faith that she had, he said, go home. Your daughter's okay. How serious would we get if a dear loved one of ours was under the oppression of the devil and it was purely demonic activity? Just this past Sunday night, there was a prayer meeting at a home where there was a recent sudden death and left an infant baby homeless, or parentless at least. Her mother passed away. A young mother mysteriously passed away. And the family testifies that since the mother passed away, they see ghosts around the house in the nighttime, and they're scared. They don't know what to do. So they called the Mennonites over from the mission there in Carmelita Belize and says, can you please pray that some of this activity would stop around here? It's real, folks. It's real. It's really real. The oppression of the devil, and he don't care. He doesn't care one bit. Do you ever hear somebody that's worried about hearing voices? Voices and strange stuff happening and creepy things and noises and voices and stuff like that. Oh, my dear friends, it's the oppression of the devil. And the more a person gets scared by those things and the more a person is affected by those things, the happier the devil is, because he's got them bound up. They're oppressed. This man that we were working with in our area for a while, he read me those verses He says, Virgil, how do you get out of the cords of sin? How do you ever break loose from it? He says, whenever I'm in a certain crowd, he said, I do anything of ungodliness. He says, there's nothing out there, he said, that I've not been there, done that. And from the most vile things that you can name, the most vile stuff that's out there, he's been there. I don't know if there's anything that he wasn't into. And he would try to be good, and he'd try to reform his life, and he'd try to study the Bible. And he could take you to places in Revelation, and places in the epistles, and leave a person almost dumbfounded with the knowledge that he had. But there was a problem. And as we tried to zero in on that issue, me and another brother one night, we sat down with him, and I began to hear this fountain of occultism, knives and blood, and horror stories, and intense drinking, and the bottom of the gutter. And I realized that this man is totally bound up by powers of evil that are way beyond his control. And in given time and place, he can talk right, he can sound, he can act like almost, it's like Bibles in his hand. He had his Bible marked up from front to back. And yet, in any moment when he was by himself, these evil powers were just like right on top of him again. We tried to help him, and I am sorry to say that I have no idea where he's at tonight. But I know we tried hard. We prayed hard that night. Seriously. We prayed for him after that. I tried to help him come to a point where he would renounce these evil things. But folks, it's real. It's an oppression. It's real, real. Some specific aspects of the devil's oppression, vices. And that might be drinking. That might be tobacco. That might be drugs. It might be immorality that takes you into vices. It may even be, excuse me, but it may even be masturbation. Vices are something to which many, many, many people are enslaved to vices. They're bound by the cords of their sin. And the devil has them under oppression, and he makes them think there's no way out. Vices require more and more indulgence. But the more you indulge, the less pleasure you get out of any of it. And that does is makes it all the more addicting. If that's pornography tonight, in your case, it requires more and more indulgence, and you get less and less out of it, and so you have to have more to get nowhere, except deeper in oppression and depression sometimes. I could go into more detail. Going on with another one. Specific aspects of demonic oppression is anger. Oh, my friends, the anger that is going on in our world right now, and sometimes even in homes, and sometimes even in Christian homes, so-called, is destroying so badly because someone is under the oppression of the devil, and the devil has them bound up with cords of anger, and they have no way to break loose from it. Anger not only oppresses the angry person, but makes them very oppressive in nature toward others. And that's why children who grow up with angry parents become very hostile, very just like, whoa, break this. And yet they repeat the cycle oftentimes down the road. And so quickly, anger leads to murder. Does the Bible say anything about that? He that hateth his brother is a murderer, right? Another one is bitterness. Bitterness was one of Bible school subject of mine several years ago, and studying about bitterness was a terrific study for me. I was so amazed about what all the Bible says about that. I will just quote one verse just for your information on that one. Peter said to Simon the sorcerer, if I have it right, out of Acts chapter 8 and verse 23, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity, under the oppression of bitterness. And people that live under the oppression of bitterness sometimes wish they could ever and forever break loose of it. But until they go through the steps of seeking reconciliation and seeking power and help from others who could help them and renounce that sin, they will be bound and stay bound and oppressed both now and until the end of their life. But bitterness, the thing about it is that if it's not repented of and taken care of, it leads to deeper and deeper sin and yet affects more and more people. And the devil laughs because he's got somebody oppressed, and the more he can grab, the better off it is for him. God, rid us of the sin of bitterness, the sin of anger, and the sin of vices, and the sin of demonic activity. But I'm not done yet. The devil's oppression comes in immorality. I'm telling you, folks, I know a boy that was 19 years old. He used to go around from Mennonite community to Mennonite community because at least there they halfway gave him some food to eat and he could associate with some people that were halfway civil to him. But he was so bound by immoral conduct and such a slave to it. He told me, "Virgil, I'll give every penny, every cologne in that currency." He said, "I'll give every cologne I can to get my hands on more pornography. I'll do anything." He would walk down the hot roads of that area barefooted and with no shirt on his back and almost nothing else on, because he gave it all for more stuff to look at that he shouldn't have. He was so violent one day. He got a hold of his hands on an autistic girl, God forbid, but he got his hands on an autistic girl. And because he was so ravaged, people had to beat him with pieces of firewood to get him away from her. I'm talking about oppression, my friends. And there's people that live that life. The gay lifestyles, the adultery, the divorce and remarriage, the sad, sad, sad things that occur in our world all over. And yet somehow divorce and remarriage is okay in so many churches. And what does God's word say? What does God's word say? It's oppression, my friends. And the devil laughs when one more home goes into the divorce court. It's just fine with him. He doesn't care. One time after a massacre in Texas at some kind of a college or something, a girl just raised her voice and said, "Parents, why do you lie when you say 'I do' till death do us part? Why do you lie? And why do you say that divorce is better for the children in the long run?" The writing that she did about that thing and going down through a whole list of woes that are in American culture. And divorce was one of the top because she'd probably seen it multitudes of times. God help us. The oppression of fornication, when now virginity is lost, never to be gained again. Now we're single and we have to go on and face life. And the aftermath that comes from that. And please, my friends, God can forgive. God can help us. I know that. It is so good and so wonderful that there can be forgiveness with Christ and we can go on and live a newness of life. That is so wonderful. But then what about the unwanted children? You try to tell me that young lady or that older lady that goes through the abortion clinic and has done what is done there to her, you try to tell me that her pillow doesn't get wet at night when she thinks about what could have been and what should have been and isn't. You try to tell me that there's nothing to it. I heartily disagree. A mother's heart is a mother's heart regardless of what their name is. Right now, over on the desk in the place where I'm staying, I have a couple stories that are heartrending about people. It's a Lifelines magazine. It comes from Bethany Christian Services and something we get with our adoption process and some things we were through with them and the stories that come through that book just about, you just say it can't be, but it's US of A. It really is. The stories about people that try to come back and function normally. And how many children do you have? Well, really, I don't know. Or All the stuff that happens with your friends and trying to develop deep relationships with people, and yet these scars of oppression are so deeply ingrained in their lives. They don't trust anybody. They don't care for anybody. They don't know how to love because they were never loved. Oh, my friends, the oppression of the devil is horrible. I say it again. Playing around with impurity, tampering with things that we know we shouldn't. Broken relationships, the words of a song say, broken relationships had used me till I was done in. Why is it that the Hollywood movie stars commit suicide at 30-some years of age or younger? Because they've been standing in front of the cameras, they've been performing all this stuff that they really aren't, and when they go to bed at night, they're empty and useless, and they've been used, and they're worth practically nothing in their own eyes. And as long as they can maintain just a little more beauty than somebody else or a little more talent than somebody else, they're still okay. But when that comes to an end, it all crashes. And one more is down in the annals of time as having committed suicide or wind up in a mental institution and the devil's there. Ha, 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 I've got another one. Oppressed of the devil, my friends. Deceit and lying. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. In one of the stories I have over there, I just read it yesterday again. The lady said that to get through life, she lied. And the more she lied, the more she had to lie. And no one trusted her after a while, and she became worthless, didn't have a home, didn't have mom and dad that taught her things right from wrong or anything else. I'm telling you, folks, it's a sad world out there. It's a sad world. The oppression of the devil and deceit and lying. But are any of us lying? Are you lying to your husband? Are you lying to your wife? Are you lying to your girlfriend? How is it? Are you lying to your boss about how many hours you actually did work that week? How does it stand? Why did you come home at midnight instead of 11 like Dad said? What took the extra time? Do you have a flat tire along the road somewhere? Are you lying? And then this thing of fear. The devil has everybody out there fearful. Fearful. Scared. My aunt is a professing Christian lady, and she worked in some kind of a daycare place, and she talked to these little children, and children said, I don't want to go to sleep. She says, why not? She's a very compassionate lady, bless her heart. She's not plain, but she's very compassionate. In her own way, I think she wants to serve Jesus. Well, what's wrong? I'm scared of that guy in the chainsaw massacre that I saw on television. I'm scared of him. I don't want him to get me while I'm sleeping. That was 15 years ago I heard that story. And you think about the Nintendo and all of these avatars and all this type of stuff that you see, and children are addicted to these little games, and all it's filling their heads with is more oppression and violence and taking people out. Up and down and all around. It's horrible, my friends. Fear. And they live in fear. And fear. And they go to bed at night and can't sleep. And there's percentages of how much Ritalin is being sold across the United States right now. It's terrific amounts of drugs children are taking at young ages because they're scared stiff and don't know how to operate in life. Their mom and dad don't love each other, they don't love them, and they are just in a disaster. And from very young, they become under the oppression of the devil because they don't have any other life to live. Another type of fear I want to look at in Hebrews chapter 2. I told this story just a couple Sundays ago at home. I was in South America, Bolivia, in Concepcion, and in 2005 with my wife, and our youngest son at that point was just an infant. And they told us across this couple streets over here, there's a Catholic couple that just lost a newborn. They said, is there any chance that you could go over there and offer that couple some kind of hope? The Catholic priest has told them that their baby right now is in a very dark and ugly place. And they know they got to do something to get him out of there. And do you know what that means? It means shelling out a couple more, whatever, that's bolivianos, that's some currency in that country. Shell out a couple more of them. So that gold-plated cathedral has gold plates across the whole front of the auditorium. It's gold-plated, basically. It's terrific. So that cathedral can become yet more ornate. Shell out a little more, and the people didn't have it. They said, is there anything? Anything you can, and the missionaries took me over there. I went over to that house with my wife. We sat down in that home and saw this couple, just this Chiquitano family there. So what do you say in a moment like that? And I don't know if these verses ever meant more to me than they did that evening or that afternoon. I'm in chapter 2 of Hebrews in verse 14. For as much then as the children are partaker of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And I'm telling you, there's a world of people out there that are scared stiff to die. They don't want to die. They don't want to die. They'll spend tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars to stay alive. They'll do anything to stay alive a bit longer yet because they're scared to die. They don't want their children to die. None of us do. But what would you tell a couple like that? Just let them know that the fear of death is from the devil. Their angels do always behold the face of their Father which is in heaven. And I've clearly taught over the years that I believe at conception, God assigns an angel to watch over that little one, regardless of the country they were born in or wherever the part, whatever place in the continent or the world it is, there's an angel assigned to look out for that little one. And you know what? That little one is safe in the arms of Jesus. Just go to that couple and tell them that. If only they would believe it! But they're under fear. Because the Catholic priest said, they're in a horrible and dark place. God have mercy. It's not true. But how do you convince somebody of that if they've never known? And yet they were subject to bondage. I'm going to read 15 again. And deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Are you scared to die tonight? Next question I want to look at is, what is the devil's answer for the oppression that he wages upon the soul of man? What is the answer, the devil's answer, for the oppression he wages upon your soul if you are living in oppression tonight? Think of Adam and Eve and all who have sinned. Somewhere in it all, there is guilt and shame for my sin. No one's going to accept me. I'm worth nothing. No one loves me anymore. I'm worthless. That is number one. That's what the devil can offer you. Plenty of guilt and shame for it. If our lives are under his oppression. Plenty of guilt and shame. What else does he offer? He offers more sin. Offers more sin. Just do more of it. Just can't get a couple more beers yet. Trade off your wife and grab another woman. Get some more of this horrible junk. Whatever it is, drugs or whatever. Get more of it. What else does the devil have to offer you? Don't have much except entertainment. Go to another party. Go for another dance. Get another round of music. Download a couple more off of Spotify or Amazon Prime. Get at it. Get more music. Just sit, go to bed at night with that popped in your ears. Just go to bed with that rock and roll or that jazz or whatever the thing is. Go to bed watching those movies on that screen and the sound effects that are with it. Just more entertainment. More entertainment. It'll be fine. That'll counterbalance the guilt and the shame that you're feeling in your heart of the abortion, of the drunken stupor you were just through and just fought with the wife and beat up the children. God have mercy. This is the world we live in, folks. It's oppression of the devil. Balance off more entertainment with the guilt and the shame and the more sin. And I get appalled sometimes walking through an old people's home. And I see these people just barely skin and bones with oxygen at their noses. And then they're on the screen is going NASCAR, beauty contest, who knows what all's happening. and they're right on the edge of death, and the devil's got them well entertained. They can't even get on an airplane anymore and fly anywhere without having that something in their hand to keep them going, keep them going, keep them thinking, keep them, their mind on what's happening, or some other entertainment. It's getting harder and harder to visit with people in public because everything's here. Or it's on the big flat screen. They're entertained to the max and living in guilt the whole time. And if the devil doesn't offer you anything else at the end of the day, if nothing else worked, if more sin didn't work, if more guilt and shame didn't work, if more entertainment didn't work, then try suicide. That'll fix it. That'll put it all to rest. Really? God have mercy. God have mercy. It's the world we live in. Why is it that more and more teenagers are going that route? It's because there's nothing to live for. Mom and dad didn't love them anyhow. Oh, my folks, how sad it is. But what is Jesus' answer tonight? That's our last point. Does Jesus have anything to offer the one who's oppressed of the devil? Does Jesus have anything to offer? Praise God, he does. That's what we want to look at. Jesus said in John 12, 31 and 32, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." The call that goes out across the world, wherever the gospel is preached, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else," like we talked about last night out of Isaiah 45, verse 22. "And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to me." At least there's an opportunity. At least there's a Lamb of God who gave his life for the salvation of mankind. Another verse, two verses out of John 8, 32. "Then said Jesus to the Jews which believe on him, If ye continue in my words, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Praise God. Truth will make them free. Jesus offers new life. "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it," how? "More abundantly," praise the Lord. New life. Does that sound better than entertainment and more sin and more guilt and shame? Praise the Lord, it does. Jesus has the answer for us. I read earlier, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this cause the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Do you believe that tonight? I love the way it says in Spanish, "El que comete pecado es del diablo, porque el diablo peca desde el principio. Por eso apareció el Hijo de Dios para deshacer las obras del diablo." Imagínese usted. Imagine that. In Spanish it says, "Tear apart the works of the devil." Is that enough power to take care of the problems we're talking about tonight? To tear them to pieces. Just destroy the works of the devil. Overpower the vices. Overpower the immorality problems and all that it brings with it. Is that enough? Is that enough to take care of the problem of anger or bitterness? Praise God, it is. Oh, praise his name. There's power in the blood, my friends. Got to grab a few words here before I forget them. Going on to another verse. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." Is that enough power? "If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Is that enough? "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Will that free you from the power of the devil's oppression? Acts chapter 26. I'm just about done. I know the clock is going fast over there. Acts chapter 26. Apostle Paul testifying of his ministry to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So he says he's preaching a gospel that is able to save from the power of Satan and turn them over to the power of God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And then you can receive forgiveness of sins. Does that overcome diabolic oppression tonight, my friends? Absolutely it does. And finally, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are you oppressed by the devil tonight? Or are you free in Jesus? I invite us to open our Christian hymnaries to 906. Before we sing this invitation hymn, I would like us to bow our heads for prayer.